Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
Get on the scaredy cats. How are you guys doing today? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Welcome to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. If you're interested in true crime, scary stories, and more, make sure you guys add us to your favorites and tune in every week for a brand new episode.
And if you want to stay up to date with the podcast or interact with us, follow us on any social media platform at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K.
A lot of you guys wanted us to do two podcast episodes a week, so we brought back the Freaky Friday series, and today we're going to be talking about a creepy story and one of my favorite movies overall, and it's the true story of The Conjuring.
I swear, this movie, you and your brother have watched it like a thousand times. Like, oh,
not,
my gosh.
Not in a weird way, guys. It's just like, it's our favorite movie to watch if we want to watch a scary movie and we just don't know what other one to watch. Because it's a creepy movie.
It's a pretty good one, especially the first one. Yeah. The last one was, I can't remember.
The last one was all right.
It wasn't like too bad. There's a few like scares here and there, but like it wasn't like as good as the first one. But talking about ghosts, I mean, I have a couple of creepy ghost stories up my sleeve, but do you have any you might want to share with the Scaredy Cast today before we start off this episode?
I haven't had like full encounters with like ghosts, but there's been things that have happened that I just can't explain. And I'm recently me and my family are moving into a new house, and we have everything kind of set in there. And I was laying down after finishing editing a video, and I think it was around like 1-ish when I fell asleep. My room is upstairs, so you can hear everything from downstairs and all that. My parents were asleep. No, they go to sleep early. I'm usually the only one up because I'm up to like 2 to 3 editing videos, but this time I got done early, so I laid down and like I'm drifting into sleep, and out of nowhere, like there was a loud bang, like if somebody like kicked the door or threw something at the door, because it shook the whole upstairs, like it was vibrating. I woke up all scared. I called my brother. My brother didn't answer, and I called my mom. My mom didn't answer.
So then, hate when that happens. Yeah.
And I called my mom again, and she woke up, and she said she didn't hear anything. But the weird thing is that our house is fenced up. It has a fence all over the house, and my dog is always like roaming around. He was barking, but we went to go check and there was nothing.
That's weird.
But it was like the loudest thump ever, and I woke up and I had chills. But then my mom, she said she didn't hear it, and my mom's a light sleeper, literally wakes up with any noise, and she didn't hear it. So I don't know if I was tripping because I was up late, but I'm pretty sure I wasn't, because I felt that, like it felt real. That's, and my dad weird. And I woke up and we were searching around and there was nothing. Yeah, guys, so if you guys have any creepy ghost stories, let us know on any of our social media platforms, whether it be on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Let us know at the Scaredy Cats podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. But with all that being said, guys, vamos a brincarle a esta story, which took place in a rural farm located in Rhode Island. The house was located in a farm that was built in 1736, and it was used to be called the Old Brooks Farm. But when the parent family purchased the house in 1971, the house was known as the Old Arnold Estate. So on January 1971, Roger and Carolyn Perrin moved into the historic house with their 5 daughters named Andrea, April, Christine, Cindy, and Nancy. La Nancy. The house sat on a 200-acre property in the suburbs, which is huge.
That is really huge.
That's a lot of acres. Once the Perrin family finished getting situated in the house, everything seemed to be going great. Andrea, who was the oldest of the 5 daughters, had her own room, while her sister Nancy, who was 11 at the time, and 10-year-old Christine shared a room. The other 2 youngest daughters also shared a room together, and it was said that the house had 14 rooms in total, one which the Perrin family didn't know about. They only knew about 13 rooms.
That's,
they didn't
weird.
Know about the 14th
like
room.
In my old house when we didn't know about that hidden room. That's very creepy. I mean, this house was huge. The youngest daughters even had their own playrooms, but even though everyone seemed to be settling in just fine, both Roger and Carolyn didn't forget the last words of the old man who had sold them the house. When the Perrin family went to go pick up the keys to the new house, the old man cautioned them by saying, "Leave the lights on at night."
if I'm buying a house and somebody tells me that, I'm like, why didn't you tell me before I signed the
papers? Yeah, I know. That's a way to get them. But the parent family took this more like a friendly warning due to all the serial killers and other killing sprees that were happening during this time frame. But as stated by Roger, he couldn't get the man's voice out of his head. And when he warned them, he claimed that he got chills down his back. Oddly, a few months after settling into the house, weird occurrences began to happen throughout the house. The parents stated that the house creaked a lot and doors slammed throughout the house, but the most bone-chilling thing is that they could hear whispering late at night. Carol began to notice some small details around the house. For one, she noticed that the room would only be in different places around the house. And when she asked everyone if they moved it, they would always say no. Carolyn also noticed that things frequently went missing around the house, and she would also find piles of dirt in the middle of the kitchen floor. That would be just, ugh, yeah, that'd be weird. But, which, this all didn't make sense because it would always happen after the kitchen was cleaned up. And Cindy Perrin, the second youngest daughter, stated that her things would always be moved around in different positions or they would mysteriously end up shoved underneath her bed.
She said that she went and asked her sisters if they were messing with her and stuff like that, and they would always look at her all confused and say, like, why would I do that? Why would I
misplace your items?
Yeah, like, why would I stuff all your stuff underneath your bed? So she just kind of like brushed it off after that. She's like, nah, my sisters are messing with me, because she was one of the youngest.
Probably like, thought, I'm the youngest, like, they're gonna be picking on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, she thought they were picking on her. But now Andrea, the oldest of all the daughters, also had her own encounter. She would often be awakened in the middle of the night by her little sisters rushing into her bed and crying. One sister in particular who seemed more scared was Cindy. She had claimed to have heard a sinister voice in her room that she shared with her youngest sister, April. Cindy said that the voice whispered to her, "There are 7 soldiers dead inside the walls," over and over again all night long.
If I heard that, I would just be out of the house. I wouldn't even like waste a minute just sitting there.
Yeah, Cindy also said that during the first few weeks living in the house, a lady would always come into her room and give her a kiss goodnight on her forehead, which at first she thought was her own mother, because the person smelled like fruits and flowers, which was the same smell of Carolyn's lotion. So it wasn't the mom coming in and giving her a kiss, and it wasn't none of the sisters.
What if, like, the ghost was disguising herself and used the lotion? Yeah. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, but after this, the encounters began to get more and more violent. The family would often be kept awake at night by a voice crying for her mother. And every night at 5:15 a.m., the beds would begin to shake, and oftentimes, they claimed that they would lift up in the air as if somebody was lifting them up and shaking them. Oh my god.
I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Just thinking about that gives me chills. Yeah. But what was so, like, it grossed me out of all of this is that the entire house began to smell like rotting flesh. The family described the smell like a bunch of dead rats, rotten eggs, and a few drops of fruity perfume.
That makes me feel like, ugh, like I'd probably puke.
I feel like puking right now. Yeah. Have you ever smelled what a dead rat smells?
No.
Good. Because at my old house, we would get, like, have a bunch of, like, mice and rat problems. And one time I remember just the house stink. Like in the vents. This was like the very first house that we moved into when we moved from California. It stinks so bad. Like, babe, the freaking smell is disgusting. I don't
I'm
even
like
know how to.
My nose,
I don't
like know, it's like right here.
I don't even know how to describe it. But you do not want to smell what a dead rat smells like. The fact that cats find that smell appetizing is disgusting.
But Roger said more shadows would appear around the house, and that the doors would repeatedly slam in a 3-pattern sequence, then stop. So, like, you know, 1, 2, 3. Carolyn would then wake up with bruises all over her body, and she would often feel very weak. She claimed waking up one night to a person standing next to her with her head hanging over her face, whispering, get out, or I'll take you out with death." With all this going on in the house, it became too much for the family, so Carolyn began to do research on the house and the history of it in order to understand what could be happening inside the house. Carolyn found out that the house was actually previously owned by the same family for over 8 generations, so that's quite a long time frame, and many family members would mysteriously pass away in horrible circumstances, which included drownings in a creek that was located right behind the house, and some were murdered. In a news article clipping, it read that over 12 people had passed away inside the house that the Perrin family just bought. As much as the Perrin family wanted to leave the house, they couldn't because they basically spent all of their money and all their earnings moving into the house. So unfortunately, the hauntings became more sinister due to the spirit that they came in contact with, which was named Bathsheba Sherman. She was by far the most evil spirit in the house. Even her name, Bathsheba, she sounds scary.
Yeah, she does sound scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was said that Bathsheba messed with Carolyn almost every day the whole entire time they lived in the house. One night, Andrea, the oldest daughter, was awakened at night by a foul smell. When she opened her eyes, she noticed that a woman was standing next to her. This woman was Bathsheba, who told Andrea that she was the mistress of the house and wanted the mom gone. In one incident, Bathsheba actually stabbed Carolyn in the leg with a needle-like tool. She then began to torment Carolyn both physically and emotionally, to the point where Carolyn would wake up with large purple bruises all over her back, you know, her front area, her legs, her arms, her face, point where she could barely walk.
And like another thing, like how she said that she was always feeling weak, isn't that when like the entity's kind of like draining your soul, right?
Yeah, that's supposedly what happens. So they break you down to your weakest form, and then that's when they overcome your body,
because you're the most vulnerable.
Yeah. So before we continue with the story, let me tell you guys a little backstory about Bathsheba, because it's actually going to be very important in the story. Yeah, so most people believe that Bathsheba was a made-up character in the movie The Conjuring, but she wasn't. She was a real person. Bathsheba Sherman was born in 1812 in Rhode Island. Bathsheba would later on marry Judson Sherman in 1844 and had a kid named Herbert, who was born in 1849. Some locals stated that the Shermans actually had 3 kids, all of whom passed away before they turned the age of 7.
That's a weird...
Right? So due to this, people began to believe that she was actually a witch. And what confirmed this for the locals was when a baby that she was taking care of mysteriously passed away in her care. When the autopsy was done on the baby, the medical examiner found shocking evidence that in the back of the baby's skull, it had been penetrated with something long and sharp, creating a hole. Many people in the town believe that this was part of a satanic ritual that Bathsheba did in order to drink the blood of the baby and complete her sacrifice. But without any evidence is connecting Bathsheba to the crime, she was declared not guilty and all charges were dropped.
Well, that's just terrible.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't checked out our Salem Witch Trial episode, you should definitely check that out. But yeah. Mysteriously, Bathsheba would pass away on May 25th, 1885. But what makes her death scary is that Bathsheba died due to an unexplained form of paralysis that caused numerous bones in her body to break. Most of them punctured her lungs and other organs. This then left doctors extremely frightened. Until this day, her cause of death remains unknown. Bathsheba had lived in the property that the Perrin family owned now, but she didn't live in that exact house. She lived on a small farm that was located next to the house, but it was torn down years later after her passing. You can still visit Bathsheba's grave, and it is located at the historic Baptist Cemetery in downtown Harrisville, Rhode Island. And people who have visited this grave claim that you can feel almost like a cloud of darkness overcoming your body, and you feel as if you're being watched. So now that you guys know a little bit more about Bathsheba, let's jump back into the story. While the encounters in the parents' house grew more evil, a family member of Carolyn's reached out to some paranormal investigators whom she said she had seen in the newspaper. These paranormal investigators were known as Ed and Lorraine Warren, and they were actually working on a case in nearby Connecticut, which also connects to another true story about the movie A Haunting in Connecticut. And if you guys want us to talk more about that one on the podcast, let us know.
Yeah, and that's basically the movie The Conjuring 2.
Wow.
You know, with the little girls that get possessed?
Yeah.
And they start talking in like this weird deep voice.
Ooh,
and
that one was weird.
There's actually like interviews that they put on YouTube, the Warrens did. But yeah, that's basically The Haunting in Connecticut is The Conjuring 2.
So they actually have their, what is it called, like their exorcists on YouTube?
Yeah, so they have some of them, which we'll get more into. They weren't able to come out to the public for some odd reason, but they do have the interviews that they did with the little girls Connecticut. You can hear like their voice changing in like this deep, like disordered sound, and their faces kind of like get all like droopy, stretched out and weird.
Oh, that's just weird. I didn't know that was even on YouTube.
Yeah, and it's like that one's the actual footage. They put it side by side to the Conjuring movie.
Okay.
But unlike the movies, Andrea, the oldest daughter, said throughout the 10 years that the Warrens worked on their case, they actually weren't much help. And she also explained the hide and clap game they showed in the movie was actually worse in real life. She explained that Sydney hid in the woodshed behind the house and found a wood box with a single wood panel as a lid. It was a very thin wood panel that just lift up and down. Sydney was going to use this wood box to hide in it. Little Sydney easily lifted up the lid and hid inside it, but after she tried to get out, the lid wouldn't move at all. Cindy stated that it felt as if somebody was sitting on it, and then she said she heard a faint, dark, evil laugh coming from the other side of the lid, so she began to scream and shake, and after 20 minutes of fearing that she would suffocate in the box, her sister just easily lifted up the lid and told her to get out. And yeah, she said that it seemed like if somebody was sitting on it and laughing.
Isn't that crazy though? Because like sometimes like these entities, we can't see them, but they can see us. Imagine we're talking all about this and then you just hear some creepy voice talking to the microphone.
Ooh.
Like it picks up some random voice.
Yeah.
Ugh, that would be creepy.
Yeah, because microphones pick up different frequencies, yeah. So who knows?
Because isn't the Conjuring House, isn't that still up, right?
The Conjuring, yeah, it's still up to this this day.
Imagine like we go to the actual house to do this episode and it picks up some weird voices. That would be
creepy. But I have a question for you guys and you, babe. What would you have done if, you know, you were like, oh, I'm gonna hide in this wood box, and you easily lift up the tiny little lid, and when you try to get out, you just can't.
I would probably panic, but I also think, like, you know, like, especially when you're in a small, like, enclosed space.
And, like, you hear that laugh, like she explained.
You have to make sure that you don't panic that much, because it's almost like you'll
suffocate.
Yeah, you suffocate faster because you're losing, you know, your composure and you're freaking out, you know? So I would try to, but knowing myself, I would most likely panic. But it would be a good idea to not panic. But after further investigation, Ed and Lorraine Warren confirmed that it was the spirit of Bathsheba who was tormenting the family. The Warrens also did lots of digging and found out that, yes, Bathsheba had 3 children, 2 boys and 1 girl. Lorraine also mentioned that she found out that Bathsheba sacrificed her daughter to the devil and would often establish black rituals on the land that the house was built on. Bathsheba conducted a ritual where she gave up her soul, causing her to become possessed and die in order to haunt the land for eternity. Which I guess that kind of answers the question about, like, her mysterious death. The reason all of her bones were broken was because she was under a demonic possession. But jumping back into it, during one of the last visits from the Warrens, they conducted a seance with the family, and they were accompanied by a priest and a medium. A medium is typically someone who can see or talk to spirits. They did this seance in order to communicate with the spirits in hopes of getting more answers to why the hauntings were happening. But in the middle of the ritual, it was reported that Carolyn became possessed by the spirit of Bathsheba. She began to speak in an ancient language and levitated off the ground with the chair. There's also said to be actual footage of this, but for undisclosed reasons, they cannot be released to the public. And maybe it's because it's too graphic?
Yeah.
You know, of course, I've also heard that, like, when people start speaking in tongues, it's because they're getting possessed.
To be there in real life and experience that would be such a, like, traumatizing experience.
Especially seeing them levitate off the ground. Like, that's obviously inhumane, like, to us, and, like, unnatural. Like, ugh.
Yeah, and it was said that the Warrens dismissed the 5 girls from the seance and told them to go to another room. Andrea reportedly witnessed all the events unfold, and she stated that her mom began to speak in a whole different tone and that she didn't sound like herself at all. Carolyn's body also began to crack and just, like, deform. It was reported that she attempted many times to kill her own daughter Sydney, but after several hours of this possession, they were able to bring her back to her original self. And shortly after this, they sold the house and moved to Georgia.
I definitely would, because if that all happened, I'm out.
Yeah, same here. I would literally just pack my stuff and leave. But, you know, but however, one of the late owners strongly disagreed with the parent family and called them a hoax. Norma Sutcliffe purchased the Arnold Estate in 1987 and to this day claims that no hauntings have ever occurred in the house. Norma was actually living in the house in 2013 when the Conjuring movie was released, and she actually sued the film for vandalism that had been done to the house due to the movie.
But once again, in 2019, the Conjuring house was put up for sale and was purchased by Corey and his girlfriend Jennifer. Unlike Norma, though, the couple experienced far away footsteps and doors mysteriously slamming at night, but they were never tormented by any kind of, like, entity. And to this day, the daughters claim it's very difficult for them to talk about it, and the late Lorraine Warren would always say that things that happen in the house still frighten her. So yes, the movie The Conjuring, which was released in 2013, was based on the actual story, and this was it.
Anything that has to do with, like, the devil, possessions, any of that creeps me out, because it's just, like you said, it's something that can see us, but we can't really see it.
It's just weird because, like we said, we can't see it, but we can feel it.
Yeah.
And isn't that weird? Like, we can, like, feel that energy.
Yeah, it's mostly like humans can feel that this energy of sense. Being watched.
Yeah.
Like our spidey sense. What's crazy is that many YouTubers have actually gone to explore the house with the new owners, the Jennifer and who was it again? Corey?
Yeah. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that the BuzzFeed Unsolved guys,
I think they did too.
They went to go see the Conjuring.
Yeah.
Or the Conjuring house. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The owners are actually now selling the house because they said it's too much.
I mean, I don't blame them, because I'm sure that's a lot to handle. But what I'm kind of curious about is that what those two, you know, that one family that said it was all a hoax.
Yeah.
Like, were the ghosts just like, you know what, I'm gonna chill for a second until I find someone that I wanna, like, haunt or something, right?
I feel like they appear themselves to people who believe in that.
I guess this is another idea, like, when people are vulnerable, you know, they seem to latch onto them a lot easier. So maybe these people were just, like, in a good state of mind, everything was going good for them. Not saying that, you know, this wasn't, like, that situation for, you know, the other, you know, Jennifer and Corey, but what if that's what was going on? They're like, you know what, I can't do this right now, I'm gonna wait until, you know, the next owners come.
No, with all that being said, that is the story of the Conjuring house. Let us know if you guys would actually go visit the Conjuring house if you had the chance. I know I would. because I'm just interested in it. But then again, I don't know.
What if they paid you $1 million to go see The Conjuring House?
I would.
You would?
I thought you were going to ask me to spend the night in it. If it was to spend the night in it, I would bring a rosary. I'd bring a priest. I'd surround myself in like Bibles and go to sleep.
I'd freaking be like, I'd drench my clothes in holy water before I fall asleep.
But I would definitely go explore The Conjuring House if I had the chance to. Okay. I believe it would be very interesting. And would you go see Bathsheba's tombstone?
No, I would never set foot around that. If she had the power to do all this, never.
I don't think I would want a chance to go see her tombstone and have her attach herself to me. Nah, yeah,
no way.
I don't think I would chance that. But I would go explore The Conjuring House. So let us know if you guys would. But without further ado, that'll close off today's episode. If you enjoyed today's story, let us know on social media, anywhere on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, at the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. And if you guys want to hear part 2 of The Conjuring, The Haunting in Connecticut, let us know as well. But tune in next Wednesday for another podcast episode. But we are out. Peace.